Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we slice through information to get to the core of what matters. Today, we're not just reading a book. We're diving headfirst into the very DNA of storytelling with E.M. Forster's groundbreaking work, Aspects of the Novel.
A fantastic book.
Our mission for you today is to understand not just what a novel is, but how it works. You know, the hidden mechanics that make stories resonate.
Absolutely.
Get ready to never read a novel the same way again.
And what's truly compelling here is how relevant Forster's insights remain nearly a century after he wrote them.
Right. It's amazing.
They offer this timeless framework for understanding any story, really, whether you're immersed in a classic novel or maybe binge watching a new series on TV.
Or even just scrolling through news feeds.
Exactly. Or even trying to make sense of the narratives shaping our daily lives. He helps you dissect the magic without losing any of the wonder, which is key.
So let's start with the man himself.
Yeah.
Edward Morgan Forster, an esteemed English novelist, gave us classics like A Passage to India, Howard's End.
Huge novels, very influential.
And he was also a prominent member of the influential Bloomsbury Group. But beyond his incredible novels, what do you think made him uniquely qualified to write this particular book? An analysis of the novel itself.
Well,
it's not every day you get like a master chef teaching a cooking class on the very principles of cuisine. You
know? That's a fantastic analogy, actually, because it wasn't just his writing. It was his humanist lens. He wasn't trying to lay down rigid rules.
No prescriptive stuff.
Right. He was genuinely exploring the inner workings of stories through his own experience and, well, his vast reading. He was truly dissecting his own craft.
From the inside out.
Exactly. Which gives Aspects of the Novel this unique conversational honesty that, you know, maybe an outsider critic couldn't quite achieve.
Mm.
And his deeply human worldview, always emphasizing personal relationships and inner life, that really shines through his analysis. It makes character and emotional truth just paramount for him.
That makes perfect sense. So Aspects of the Novel started as lectures at Cambridge.
That's right, back in 1927.
So it's not some dry academic text or a how-to guide.
Not at all.
Instead, it's more like an exploratory, often quite personal journey into the heart of storytelling. And it's written for the intelligent general reader, which means you listening.
Mm-hmm. It's designed to offer a new, maybe more intuitive way to understand the architecture of fiction.
Okay, so what's the big idea? What's the core insight?
Well, the core insight is that Forster totally rejects a strictly chronological view of literature. He found it incredibly limiting.
Just looking at dates and periods.
Yeah. He famously imagines all novelists throughout history writing simultaneously. Picture this. They're all in a single great circular room. He calls it his palace of art.
Wow. So like Dickens is sitting next to Virginia Woolf, maybe?
Pretty much. And this lets him focus on the timeless elements of fiction. Story, characters, plot, fantasy, prophecy, pattern, and rhythm. The aspects, exactly. As universal tools available to any author at any time. It's about understanding the inner gears of a novel, how they all work together to create its unique impact.
It frees us from just thinking about when a book was written.
Precisely. It's almost like he's inviting you to sit in that room with him and observe the process, to see how a writer like, say, Jane Austen can be compared with a contemporary writer.
Not just as historical figures.
But as craftsmen sharing a common toolkit.
Okay, building on that incredible vision, where does Forster begin? How does he start dissecting these universal building blocks?
He begins with something that seems obvious, but maybe isn't when you dig into it. The fundamental difference between story and plot.
Ah, yes. The famous example.
His famous example cuts straight to it. The king died and then the queen died is a story. Simple sequence.
A then B.
Right. The king died and then the queen died of grief is a plot.
That quote is just brilliant, isn't it? It perfectly illustrates that crucial difference.
It really does.
So a story is simply a sequence of events. It appeals to our basic curiosity, what happened next?
Yeah.
Like the Arabian Nights.
Yeah, pure narrative drive. But plot, that's where the magic really begins to engage our intelligence and our memory.
Because it introduces causality.
Causality, the why behind the events. It makes us connect the dots and seek understanding. It shifts from mere chronology.
Just what happened.
To a narrative that asks why. Or maybe, how does this relate to that? A plot introduces mystery and suspense, compelling you to think beyond the surface.
So it's the difference between just watching things happen and actually understanding their deeper meaning.
You got it.
So if a story is the primitive, sort of elemental core, plot is where the real brain power and emotional investment kick in.
Mm-hmm.
But does that imply that a purely story-driven narrative, say a really fast-paced action thriller, is inherently less meaningful in Forster's eyes?
Not necessarily less meaningful, no. But perhaps engaging a different part of our mind. See, Forster isn't prescriptive, he's descriptive.
Right, he's not judging.
He'd say a story can certainly be entertaining, thrilling, absolutely. But a plot adds an intellectual layer, a depth of connection that forces us to make sense of the world the author has created.
Okay.
Both have their place and power.
I see what you mean. Now, moving from the backbone of events to, well, the beating heart of any novel.
The characters?
Yes. This is where it gets really interesting, because Forster gives us one of his most enduring critical concepts. The distinction between flat and round characters.
Ah! Very famous.
When I first heard this, I instantly started seeing characters in books, in movies, everywhere, through this new lens. It's so useful.
Absolutely. Flat characters, they're built around a single idea or quality. They're pretty two-dimensional, easily recognizable, and crucially, they don't really change or develop much.
Like caricatures, almost.
He sometimes calls them humors or caricatures, yeah. Think of many of Charles Dickens' unforgettable characters, like Mrs. Micawber.
We'll never desert Mr. Micawber.
Exactly. They are useful, though. Useful for their clarity, their memorability. They help structure the narrative without requiring, you know, deep psychological investment from the reader every time they appear.
They serve a clear purpose.
Yeah.
Like a consistent comedic relief or a fixed villain.
Mm-hmm. A fixed point. And then we have the round characters.
These are the ones that truly surprise us, right? The ones that feel alive and complex.
Precisely. We all have that one character from a book or show that just stuck with us because they felt so real.
Totally.
Round characters are complex, multifaceted, capable of surprising the reader, but in a convincing way. That's important.
Not just random behavior.
No, no. They evolve. They contradict themselves. They possess psychological depth. Think of the heroines of Jane Austen maybe navigating societal expectations, but with all this internal turmoil.
Or Tolstoy's protagonists.
Yes. Mm. Wrestling with grand philosophical questions. A round character feels truly alive, like they continue to exist in your imagination long after you've closed the book. Yep. Forster argues that a novel's true greatness often rests on its round characters. Though he also notes...
There's balance needed.
Exactly. He says a great novel needs a mix of both types. Too many round characters could be chaotic, maybe exhausting for the reader.
And too many flat ones would lack depth.
Right. You'd lose that feeling of life.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You need the anchors and the dynamic elements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from characters, Forster then gets into more abstract territory with fantasy and prophecy.
He does.
What does he mean by fantasy in a novel? It's more than just dragons and magic, right?
Oh, definitely. Fantasy, in Forster's terms, involves introducing the supernatural, mythical, or, you know, impossible elements into a narrative.
Okay.
But it requires a specific kind of acceptance from the reader. It's not purely escapism. Good fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the playful absurdities in Laurence Sterne's Tristram Shandy.
Or even like magical realism.
Yeah, or elements of James Joyce's Ulysses, maybe. It can offer profound commentary on reality. It explores psychological or social truths that pure realism might struggle to touch.
So it intensifies things.
It can intensify a novel's impact by sort of bending the rules of the everyday, using the impossible to highlight the real, as you said earlier.
That's a wonderful way to put it. And prophecy.
Yeah.
That sounds even more mysterious. It's not about predicting the future, you said.
No, not at all. Prophecy, for Forster, is about a particular tone or voice in the novel, one that suggests universal truths and resonates with a kind of spiritual or philosophical grandeur.
So it's a feeling.
It's when the author speaks with a kind of moral conviction, maybe, where the story feels like it's revealing big, timeless truths about humanity, like when a character's struggle somehow mirrors a universal human condition.
Ah, okay.
Making you feel the weight of something much larger than just their personal story. Think of the cosmic significance in Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
Right. The whale isn't just a whale.
Exactly. Or the profound moral intensity in a Dostoevsky novel, where the human drama gestures towards something, well, infinite. It's imbued with this intensity that transcends mere realism.
That's a powerful idea, connecting the personal to the universal like that.
Mm.
Okay, finally, let's explore how novels get their aesthetic shape. He talks about pattern.
Right. Pattern refers to the overall structure, the geometric shape, almost,
mm-hmm.
of the plot, like the hourglass shape he sees in Henry James's The Ambassador. Mm-hmm.
Visual structure.
Yeah. A strong pattern provides beauty, clarity, and a sense of completeness. It gives the novel an architectural design. It's that satisfying feeling when all the pieces neatly fit together at the end.
But there's a catch, isn't there? Forster warns against too much of a good thing, even with pattern.
He does. This raises an important question. Can too much pattern be a bad thing?
Apparently so.
Forster warns that an overly rigid or symmetrical pattern can come at the expense of life. It can suffocate the messy realities of the characters.
Neat.
Yeah. He feels the pursuit of pattern can be the enemy of character-driven fiction, turning the novel into a sterile, maybe beautiful, but ultimately lifeless object. He believes life is often too chaotic to be perfectly patterned.
So if pattern can be rigid, what's the more subtle, organic counterpart? The one he clearly prefers.
That would be rhythm.
Rhythm.
Think of it like a subtle, recurring melody in a song. Or maybe a visual motif in a film.
Something that repeats.
Yes. But it's not rigid or always obvious. It's something that echoes, picks up new resonance each time it appears, and deepens the emotional pull of the whole experience, often without you even consciously realizing why it feels so cohesive.
Like Proust.
Proust's little phrase from Ventoux Sonata in Search of Lost Time is his prime example. It's this recurring musical motif that unifies that vast work emotionally and thematically. It works below the level of conscious analysis.
Wow.
So rhythm is that subtle internal echoing that provides unity without rigidity. It allows for the messy vitality of life.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So bringing this all together, what does this all mean for you listening? What are the biggest ideas you should take away from Forster's deep dive?
Well, okay, one major takeaway is definitely his humanist approach. Forster always, always prioritizes the human element, character, emotion, inner life over abstract rules or structures.
He cares how novels make you feel and think.
Exactly. Then there's the primacy of character. His flat versus round distinction gave us this enduring vocabulary, right? And it shows the novel's unique power to reveal the secret life of characters, giving us that almost godlike view, enhancing our empathy.
And the circular room.
Yes, rejecting chronological snobbery. His circular room metaphor means novels are timeless. Don't judge a book just by its publication date.
Look for the universal human experience.
Right. And finally, maybe this idea that form can be both a tool and a trap. Pattern can be beautiful, but limiting. Rhythm is subtle and organic, unifying the work more naturally and allowing for that messy vitality of life he values so much.
These aren't just academic points, are they? They're truly powerful lenses through which you can see stories more clearly and connect with them more deeply. Mm. It's about enriching your understanding and appreciation, whether you're a casual reader or, you know, someone hoping to tell your own story someday.
That's the beauty of it. And Forster's prose itself is just as insightful as his analysis. He gives us some truly memorable lines that perfectly nail his ideas.
Like the story plot one we already talked about.
Definitely. But also, he clarifies his character types so simply. Flat characters are constructed around a single idea or quality.
Clear, direct. Yep. Tells you exactly what to look for.
Yep. And then when he reflects on the novel's unique power, this one is great. One of the great advantages of the novel is that it can reveal the secret life of a character. It can be godlike.
That really gets to the heart of what makes novels so special, doesn't it? That intimate access to someone else's mind.
It does. This really gets to the heart of what Forster values in fiction. It's about the unparalleled access the novel gives us to inner consciousness.
Fostering empathy.
Fostering a depth of empathy and understanding that's, frankly, impossible in real life. It's the novel's most profound capability, making us feel connected to characters in a truly unique way.
And finally, a quote that speaks to the very essence of appreciating literature. Something that grounds all this technical analysis in human experience.
Which one are you thinking of?
The final test of a novel will be our affection for it, as it is the test of our friends and of anything else which we cannot define.
Ah, yes. That quote beautifully encapsulates his humanist approach, doesn't it?
It really does.
It grounds literary criticism in emotional response, in personal connection. It reminds us that ultimately our feelings for a book are just as valid and important as any technical analysis.
It challenges purely academic views and brings it back to the human experience.
Exactly.
So this isn't just theory for literary scholars then. How can you, our listener, apply these insights in your everyday life, whether you're a reader, maybe a writer, or just someone navigating the world of narratives?
Okay, well, for avid readers, it provides a richer vocabulary, right? It helps you articulate why a particular book resonates with you, or maybe why it falls flat.
Moves you from passive reading?
To active analytical engagement. It just makes your reading experience much richer, much more satisfying.
And the critical thinking aspect?
Yeah, for improved critical thinking and empathy. That flat versus round concept, you can apply it to real people too.
How so?
Well, it's a powerful reminder not to reduce individuals we meet to simple types or caricatures.
Ah, I
It
see.
encourages us to look for complexity, contradictions, the capacity for growth in others. It fosters greater empathy, I think.
That's a really interesting application. And beyond people.
Well, just understanding narrative everywhere. Forster's framework applies to films, TV series, even political narratives or news stories. Does a news story just present events? Is it just story? Or does it explain their connections? Does it have plot?
Is a character in a movie complex or just a simple archetype?
Exactly. Asking these questions makes you a more sophisticated consumer of all media.
So these aren't just tools for understanding books,
No.
but for understanding the stories that shape our entire world, making you a more discerning observer of human experience.
Absolutely. What Forster ultimately offers us is not, a rigid set of rules. It's a toolkit, a language
A way to talk about stories.
to engage in a more thoughtful, humane, and flexible conversation with any text. And his greatest contribution might just be his tone.
How so?
He demystifies literary criticism. He makes it accessible, witty, deeply engaging. He reminds us that at the heart of every great book are simply people and their stories,
Waiting to be understood.
waiting to be understood, and that novels uniquely capture the messy, contradictory, and beautiful truth of the human inner life.
So the next time you pick up a book, watch a show, or even listen to a conversation, what aspect of the narrative will you be listening for?
Maybe the causality of the
Or
plot,
the roundness of a character?
or that subtle rhythm holding it all together.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accatra Foundation.